Tarodiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Iva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. Tonight here in Kundanloka, we are starting a new chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 14, the three modes of material nature. And tonight I'm going to try something new. We're going to read all the translations to this chapter at first, and then we'll go back and do verse by verse, as we always do. This will give us a good gist of what we will learn in today's chapter. If you are ready to proceed, then please repeat after me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're just doing the translations for now. Just the translations, then we'll do verse by verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Again, I shall declare to you the Supreme Wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the Supreme Perfection." Text number 2. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. Number 3. The total material substance, called Brahman, is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharat. Text number 4. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Text number 5. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty-armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. Number 6. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. Number 7. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kunti, and because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. Number 8. O son of Bharat, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. Number 9. O son of Bharat, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion conditions one to fruitive action, and ignorance, covering one's knowledge, binds one to madness. Number 10. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance, O son of Bharat. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times, ignorance defeats goodness in passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. Number 11. The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. Number 12. O chief of the Bharatas, When there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. Text number 13. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested. Number 14. When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages. Number 15. When one dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. 16. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. Text number 17. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. Text 18. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Text number 19. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. 20. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. 21. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior, and how does he transcend the modes of nature? Now we do 22 through 25. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self, and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. 26. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. And the final verse, number 27. And I am the basis of this impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So those are the translations for chapter 14. And every class that we have here on this chapter will do that at the beginning of every class. In this way, we will learn the subject matter more thoroughly. Now we will begin with text number 1. First, I would like to offer my obeisances to all the devotees here, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kribasindubhyayevacha, Patitanang Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Welcome everybody, those present here, and also the 8 devotees on the internet, welcome. We're studying chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, the 3 modes of material nature. Let's now begin with text number 1. Please repeat. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Parang Huya Pravakshyami Jnananang Jnanamuttamam Yajgyatva Munayat Sarve Param Siddhim Mito Gata. Synonyms, please repeat. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Param, transcendental, Bhuya, again, Pravakshyami, I shall speak, Jnananam, of all knowledge, Jnanam, knowledge, Uttamam, the Supreme, Yat, which, Gyatva, knowing, Munaya, the sages, Sarve, all, Param, transcendental, Siddhim, perfection, Itta, from this world, Gata, attained. So before we go to the translation, I'd like to preach a little bit from these synonyms, see if Krishna gives me any inspiration. We will learn in chapter 15, but we have already learned previously that Krishna is in the heart. There are at least 5 verses where it is directly stated that Krishna lives within the heart. And in chapter 15, we learn that Krishna in the heart does 3 things. Who can tell me the 3 things Krishna does in the heart? He causes knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance. Matak smitir jnanam apohanam cha. Very good. I see that my students, if I may use that word, are quite knowledgeable. Thank you. It's nice to have an advanced class. Thank you. So, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prabhupada always would point out that Vyasadeva, in compiling this Bhagavad Gita within the Mahabharata, does not say Krishna Uvacha, but puts in Bhagavan Uvacha. And Prabhupada's explanation is that Vyasadeva wants the reader to take these statements seriously. Even I was reading today in the Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra was not sure that Krishna was supreme. And at one point, he asked Sanjaya, how come you have no doubts that Krishna is supreme? How come I don't have that? So Sanjaya tells him why. And that's for another time and place. But suffice it to say, Dhritarashtra had some doubt. The doubt was because Dhritarashtra was bewildered by Krishna's seemingly human behavior. They all knew that Krishna had killed Kamsa. That to them alone was like, wow. And they all knew that Krishna had killed demon after demon. That was, everybody knew that. And even Dhritarashtra in the assembly was, Dhritarashtra was worried about the Pandavas, but Dhritarashtra said, but I'm really worried about Krishna. Because he knew that Krishna is invincible, but still, when Sanjaya is speaking to him in the presence of Vyasadeva, Sanjaya requests Vyasadeva to come, And Vyasadeva, his guru, gives him permission to speak. And Sanjaya is saying that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra says, but how come I don't have that same conviction? So Sanjaya tells him, the reason is you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this, this, all these different reasons. So Bhagavan Uvacha means the Supreme Authority, the possessor of six opulences. Who can tell me the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Wisdom.
Beauty. What? Beauty. All strength, renunciation, wealth. We're missing one. Fame. There you go. The verse by Vyasadeva's father. Who's Vyasadeva's father? Parashara. So Parashara, Vyasadeva's father says, Aishvarasya samagrasya viryasya yashasasriya jnana vairagyoschaiva shanam bhaga itingana. That's one of the first verses I learned when I joined this movement. That verse appeared in a Back to Godhead article. And so I liked that verse. I said, that's a nice verse to learn. So, now, also in this verse here, we have the word uttamam, supreme, or it can be called transcendental, uttama, beyond darkness. The material world, by nature, is dark, but Krishna has given us a light bulb known as sun, Ravi, Surya. And then we also have Siddhim, perfection. We learned, you may recall, in chapter 7, we learned in chapter 7 that Krishna says, out of many thousands among men, one may achieve perfection. So, in that sense, the perfection means that you understand you're not your body, that you're self-realized. But then Krishna says, out of those, hardly one knows me in truth. That's the idea, tattvata. You can know who is Krishna, but do you know him in truth? That's the real thing. Like I just got finished saying, Dhritarashtra knew who Krishna was. Karna knew, but did they understand Krishna in truth? No, they didn't. Who understood Krishna in truth? Gopis, okay. Arjun, what about his brothers? Yes. What about Kunti? Yes, Kunti's prayers demonstrate that she knew who Krishna was. What about Draupadi? Did she know? Yes, because throughout the Mahabharata, you see that Draupadi is constantly praying to Krishna. When she was being disrobed, what did she do? She prayed to Krishna. She called out to Krishna. When Durvasa came with his 10,000 disciples and she had already eaten, what did she do? Now, what did she do? She prayed to Krishna. And Krishna came from Dwaraka to save her once again. So Draupadi is a good example, time and time and time again, that when all else fails, take shelter of Krishna. All right. So let's now go to the translation. We're on chapter 14, text number 1. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. So, the problem is that there are different kinds of transcendentalists. And depending on the kind of transcendentalist, your understanding of supreme perfection is different. For the impersonalist, his supreme perfection is to become one, to merge, to achieve sayujya or ekatvam, liberation, one with God. Because that's all he knows. He doesn't think there's anything higher. For the yogi who's doing proper meditation, For him, the supreme perfection is to realize the Supersoul. But for the bhakta, for the devotee, his supreme perfection is to go back home, back to Godhead. And if we were to ask Lord Chaitanya, he would say, no, the supreme perfection is what? Prema. Yes, that's what you said, right, Rama? Yes. Prema Pumartha Mahan. That's what Lord Chaitanya would say. Lord Chaitanya is not interested in going back to Godhead. Otherwise, why does he say, Mama Janmani Janmanishra? It's not his concern. But, pure love of Godhead, or as he says in his Shikshastakam explanation, give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. Give me service, give me service, give me service. But I want my payment. That payment is causeless, unmotivated service. Alright. So now let's look at the purport. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You may recall, and you, those of you who attend the Bhagavad Gita Yajna every year, you know that I always make the point that Bhagavad Gita is broken out into three divisions of six chapters each, with the middle six chapters being the most confidential, protected by the first six and the last six. That's not my statement, that's what Prabhupada says. But I always like to mention that at the Bhagavad Gita Yajna. Let us continue. Now the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. We learned in chapter 13, there were these four verses, 8, 9, 10, 11, and Krishna was explaining the process of knowledge. And the first item of the process of knowledge was humility. Humility was the first one that Krishna mentioned, which is what Lord Chaitanya teaches, that one should always be meek and humble all the time. Let us continue. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. Now in this chapter, the Supreme Personality explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attained perfection and transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attained perfection. Thus it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. So, due to the grace and blessings of Srila Prabhupada, he's giving you a clue. And those who are intelligent, they'll pick up that clue from Prabhupada and decide, ooh, maybe I should study this chapter very, very carefully. Which is why, whenever we do the class here on this chapter, we're going to read all the verses. Because look what we just read. One who understands this chapter will attain perfection. Let's chant the Maha Mantra, please. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Now we go to text number 2. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, understand. I know what you're getting at. So, there is a kind of philosophical speculation that is within the realm of Krishna consciousness. So, for instance, the way Prabhupada designed the Bhagavatam class, he said, we will study one verse in the morning, and then throughout the day, you will think about it, and try to see it from different angles of vision. That's a form of philosophical speculation, but it's within the realm of Krishna consciousness. Now, to me, when I read that sentence that you pointed out, what it sounds like is Prabhupada is saying, this chapter is so good that even you just think about it, speculate about it, eventually you will come to the conclusion of devotional service. Didn't say that you're going to achieve perfection. You'll come to the stage of devotional service. Okay? That's what it, to me, what it sounds like he's saying. That if you just think about this chapter, go over it, the conclusion will be, especially if you look at verse number 26, it's kind of difficult to refute verse 26 and not come to the conclusion that, boy, I better do devotional service. 26 is one of the most important verses of the whole Bhagavad Gita. 26th verse of this chapter. Alright, does that satisfy you? Alright, so let's go now to text number 2. Idang jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agata Sargepi nopajayante pralayena vyatanti cha. Synonyms: idam, this, jnanam, knowledge, upasritya, taking shelter of, mama, my, sadharmyam, same nature, agata, having attained, sarge api, even in the creation, na, never, upajayante, are born, pralaye, in the annihilation, na, nor, vyatanti, are disturbed, cha, also. So, let's look at the translation, please repeat. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature, like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation, or disturbed at the time of dissolution. So again, this verse is, in Krishna's own words, he's telling you how important and special this chapter. This statement here, attain to the transcendental nature like my own. So Krishna's transcendental nature, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, Satchid Ananda. So what Krishna is saying here, I use the word regain your original spiritual nature, because the soul by nature is Satchidananda, but once having come to this material world, we lose that Satchidananda nature only because we identify with the body and mind. You become free from identifying with the body and mind once again, you regain your original position, Sachidananda. And the whole process of devotional service is how to get there. So, another thing, whenever I see kinds of statements like this, I always remember what Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan Goswami. The incident was, you may recall, Sanatan Goswami had contacted some bad water on his way to Jagannath Puri, and he had all kinds of weeping sores over his body. But Lord Chaitanya was still embracing him. And Sanatan was thinking, I'm committing offenses, therefore I'm going to throw myself under the cart of Jagannath and I'll go back to Godhead. Now he didn't tell Lord Chaitanya, this is what he was thinking. So Lord Chaitanya, is he Krishna? So that means Lord Chaitanya is the super soul? Yes. So the very next day when Lord Chaitanya met Sanatan, Lord Chaitanya said, Sanatan, if it was that easy to get Krishna by throwing yourself under the Jagannath cart, I would do it 100 times. But the problem is that's not how you get Krishna. You don't get him that way. You get Krishna by what? Devotional service. That's how you get Krishna. So then at the same time, Lord Chaitanya said, Sanatan, now where is Tulsi Manjari Devi Dasi? I want her to hear this. You hear me loud and clear? Listen carefully. Because this is especially for you. Lord Chaitanya at that time told Sanatan Goswami, at the time of initiation, did you get initiated a week ago? Thank you. At the time of initiation, Krishna accepts that person as good as himself. Please mentally speculate on that verse constantly. It's a good thing to think about constantly. Krishna now accepts you as good as himself. Therefore, I was preaching to somebody last night. I was emphasizing to them, you have taken vows. Take them very seriously. Otherwise, if you don't take all of your vows seriously, you are going to once again, this chapter, come under the influence of the modes of nature. You have to develop good habits now. That includes the chanting every day and strictly following the regulative principles. Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, not only does one have to follow the regulative principles, he has to follow them enthusiastically. Not like, right. No. You have to be enthusiastic. Anyone who has joined a gym or an athletic program, the trainer, you know, if you want to be successful, he's on your case. He's on your case. And you can't go to the gym instructor and say, no. He beats it into you. So that's what the spiritual master does. He whips you into shape. So we have to take these vows that we make very, very, very seriously. And that's why when I'm counseling people, one of the things I tell them, don't take these vows unless you are prepared to actually follow them strictly. Otherwise, you're wasting everybody's time, especially your own. In other words, okay, you want this, you want... Then know what you're signing up for. That's the idea. Know what you're signing up for. Too often, people have a habit of thinking, oh, I want to get initiated because I'll get a new name and everybody will call me by the new name and I'll be included in the club and I'll be cool. It's more than just getting a name. You got to know what you're signing. No, I met people like that. They come to the temple for the first day. Oh, can I get initiated? I don't want to be called Susie anymore. Everybody else has these cool names. Yeah, well, it's more than just getting a name, Bubba. All right. So that's my little diatribe about that. Let's go now to Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After acquiring perfect transcendental knowledge, one acquires qualitative equality. Key word, qualitative. Can we achieve quantitative equality with the Supreme? That's never going to happen. Even in the spiritual world, it's not that you're going to become equal. Qualitatively equal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. One does not, however, lose his identity as an individual soul. We're supposed to have learned that in chapter 2. Natvevahum jatunasam, natvam neme janadipaha, nachaiva nabhavishyama, sarvevayam atapparam. And Prabhupada also emphasized that in the purport. You are eternally an individual, not sometimes. Eternally, and that's what Prabhupada is saying here. You don't lose your individuality. You maintain that. So a lot of times I like to make a joke. Get used to the fact that you're an individual, and you better get to like yourself. Yes? Well, you either have a spiritual, your original spiritual body, or you're inhabiting a material body. Yes, either material or spiritual. Unless, hold on, there is an exception. If you merge with the Brahman, you don't have a spiritual form. You're just one with the Supreme. You're not awarded your original spiritual body. You're in your spiritual form and you feel oneness. I guess, well, I replied as best I could. And you replied back. So, that's as far as I can go on that. Okay? Alright. We had some discussion. That's why he's bringing that up. Alright. Yes, it would appear. The evidence is you always have some kind of form. Either your original spiritual form or a material form covering your pure spiritual form. Shall we continue? One does not lose his identity as an individual soul. It is to be understood from Vedic literature that the liberated souls who have reached the transcendental planets of the spiritual sky always look to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, being engaged in his transcendental loving service. There, Prabhupada is quoting from a famous verse that is quoted many times in yajñas, and pujaris chant that verse many, many times. Right off the top of my head, I can't remember what the verse is, but Prabhupada is paraphrasing a very famous Sanskrit verse. Anyway. So even after liberation, the devotees do not lose their individual identities. Generally in the material world, whatever knowledge we get is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. So Arjuna is here on here also. So keep that in mind when you go to high school, college. Keep that in mind that the knowledge is going to be contaminated. But when you read Bhagavad Gita, uncontaminated knowledge. Keep that in mind. As soon as one is situated in that transcendental knowledge, he is on the same platform as the Supreme Person. Those who have no knowledge of the spiritual sky hold that after being freed from the material activities of the material form, the spiritual identity becomes formless without any variegatedness. So there's your impersonalists and Mayavadis. That's what they believe. However, just as there is material variegatedness in this world, in the spiritual world, there is also variegatedness. Those in ignorance of this think that spiritual existence is opposed to material variety. But actually, in the spiritual sky, one attains a spiritual form. There are spiritual activities, and the spiritual situation is called devotional life. That atmosphere is said to be uncontaminated, and there one is equal in quality with the Supreme Lord. To obtain such knowledge, one must develop all the spiritual qualities. One who thus develops the spiritual qualities is not affected either by the creation or by the destruction of the material world. And one thing I will add, because it's a question that arises so many times. So, Prabhupada just mentioned that we have to develop all the spiritual qualities. So, the idea is that all those spiritual qualities are already there in the soul in its pure form. Right now it's covered. It just needs to become awakened. The awakening process is, again, devotional service. It's not that you have to extraneously or separately develop those qualities. Simply by performing devotional service, those qualities gradually become manifest. You have a particular nature, every one of us. You use that nature to serve Krishna. That's all you have to do. You have to change your nature. You just have to change how you use that nature. That person back in 1985, follower of Satya Sai Baba, he asked me, "So, is money good or evil?" And I said, I thought for a second, I said, he's trying to trick me, this guy. He wants to see. I said, neither. If you use the money for good things, it's good. If you use the money for bad things, then it's evil. Take for instance, let's look at Duryodhan and Bhim, arch enemies, correct? So, Duryodhan had power, right? Duryodhan was better with the club than was Bhima, wasn't it? Both had the same teacher. Who was their club teacher? Balaram, yes. And can you believe it? Balaram wanted his sister to marry Duryodhan. Only he knows why he wanted that. I'm sure he had a good reason. But every time I think about it, I go, and even Subhadra didn't like the idea. No. So, Duryodhan was very powerful, very expert. Actually, remember, Duryodhan almost won the hand of Draupadi. He also shot the arrow. He almost hit the target. Fortunately, though, Arjuna was. But Duryodhan came very close. So Duryodhan had all the skills. Bhima also physically very powerful, pretty good with the club. But one is bad, one is good. So, if Duryodhan had used his talents and decided to give half the kingdom to the Kauravas, then he would have been a good boy. Right? So it's how you use the talents that you have. That's the whole key, Krishna consciousness. To whose account are you working for? The salesman has to work for the company's account. If the boss finds out that his salesman is making side deals for himself, that guy's going to get fired. No, he's supposed to work for the company. Right? So the question you have to ask yourself, whose account am I working for? Am I working for Krishna's account or my account? That's the whole crux of life. Whose account are you working for? Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Yeah.